Hello and welcome to One for the Books. I'm Jacinta.
And I'm Emma.
We're a book podcast for everyone, whether you love reading or your idea of a book is a book in ours. We have recommendations to kickstart your book club.
Equal Part Book Club, Ultimate Reckless, and catch up with your friends.
I'm really, yet again, classic me, excited about this episode.
Yeah.
I love these ones that we do where we talk about the books we've been reading recently and love. I feel like it's such a fun little check-in.
Totally. It's a bit of like a roundup of the best of
exactly
this past couple months. So there's always some gems in there, isn't there?
Exactly. And I also think that it's going to be good doing it at sort of almost the midway point for the year, because then at the end of the year, we can look back and see whether it's continually or, you know, still making our top 10 or whatever.
That's a really good point. If they're going to like end up in the top 10.
Exactly. Like maybe we'll find more gems in the last half of the year that will just completely override the ones that we're about to talk about today.
And then you won't have to hear us repeat them and wax lyrical again.
Exactly. Imagine if we just rerun this episode at the end of the year. We're like, yeah, still these ones.
You can't, No notes from me, exactly.
Yeah. Nothing has improved. The end. We were talking about this just before about whether we're going to end up overlapping, because we never talk before the episodes about what we've each picked, like literally until we're about to record. And I just wonder if this is going to be the episode where there's overlap and we've picked the same book. I feel like it's not likely, but it's possible that we've picked the same book.
Well, the thing is, we've come close a lot of times. It's almost the other person has picked a book that we just dropped at the last minute.
Yeah. Like long list, there's always overlap. It's just that for some reason we pick different favourites out of the long list we each compile.
Yeah, particularly with these ones because they're like newer ones or like ones in the zeitgeist. So
exactly.
I am very interested in see if you've heard of them or if you have even read them.
Oh my God, same. Well, please put me out of my misery. What are you picking first?
So my first one is called Crudo by Olivia Lang. Have you heard of this
one? No, I feel like sometimes you say the book titles and I'm like, what? How? I feel like I'm always like looking at new books and you always come up with ones I've literally never heard of. I've never even seen this one.
I feel like, so I talked about Everybody by Olivia Lang. Do you remember me talking about that book? I feel like she's, I know, we talk about a lot of books. It's fair. I think she's quickly becoming one of my favourite writers. So this is actually the first fiction book I've read of her. She's written a lot of non-fiction. So Everybody, which has
classic,
become quite popular.
Jacinta.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
There's Gateway a drug is non-fiction.
Yeah, I'll do anything for a non-fiction book, let me tell you. And then Funny Weather, have you heard of that one?
No.
And then my favourite one is called The Lonely City, Adventures in the Art of Being Alone, which I think is beautiful. And I would recommend you read that one, actually. I might talk about that one at a different time. But this is, I was nervous to venture into her fiction work.
Yeah.
But because I'm such like a big fan of her nonfiction. But this actually was really entertaining and really, it was quite short, sharp kind of novel. What she's essentially doing is rewriting a really small period of her life in 2017 as she's preparing for her wedding. It is technically fiction, but it's like semi-autobiographical. Like,
okay, that's what I was going to ask. I was like, wait, so are we talking fiction, non-fiction? So it's almost like she's sliding doors, what if'd her life in novel form?
Yeah, but there's another complicated aspect, which I'll talk about a bit later on, which kind of sets that, which almost made it better, but it's a bit of a curveball. Mm-hmm. But basically, the story is just set during the summer of 2017 as the protagonist, Kathy, turns 40 and she's getting married for the first time. But I guess what this book feels like is like a real snapshot in time, because I feel like there was a lot going on in the world during that. There was Brexit, Donald Trump was on the ride. Climate change was becoming increasingly urgent. It was all those kind of tumultuous kind
it's
of political
environment.
It's
so weird to reflect back on pre-COVID and be like, oh, yeah, there was a lot of shit going
on.
Like, Trump only got elected in 2016, so it was his first year of presidency. Exactly. Like Brexit. Oh my God, there was a lot going on.
Exactly. Like all
COVID's
that,
erased like... anything pre-COVID in my mind.
And it makes it feel so long ago.
Yes.
But essentially, it wasn't that long ago. Like, I remember that fascism on the rise, the planet's holding, like all that kind of thing. Like,
but also like same themes. It's like that was 5 years ago and I'm like, fascism still on the rise, tick. Climate, like planet getting hotter, tick.
Why like, are people being elected into office? Yeah, tick.
Like, yeah. It's just, there's part of me that's like, okay, so nothing's changed in 5 years except we added a global pandemic to our list of, like, garbage?
Yeah, exactly. So it was actually interesting in that respect because it feels very of that time.
Yeah.
But then you could also see how much hasn't changed, essentially.
Oh, I love this.
And we thought, like, maybe that was, like, the worst of it. Oh, we were so innocent. We were so young. Right. We didn't know what was on the brink on the horizon.
Yes. Exactly.
Pretty big themes, but she does it in such a – so she, it's basically set, like, a Tuscan hotel. So she's in Italy on holiday.
What a setting.
So you can imagine, and hence the title Crudo, which means raw in Italian.
Oh, of course.
So there's lots of descriptions of, like, beautiful beaches and beautiful landscapes and, like, the food and, like, the people and that kind of thing. So that really makes it very fun to read.
But she's also food descriptions.
She does it so well. She's surrounded by, like, these really crazy, super rich people, quite out of touch. But then she's also dealing with, like, her Twitter feed and, like, everything kind of falling apart at the same time. So it's very interesting in that respect. It's also one of those books that's, so this is why I don't know if everyone will like it. I loved it, but apparently Olivia Lang wrote it in 7 weeks.
Whoa.
I know. So it's definitely one of those books that's like a stream of consciousness. So it's so it's like it doesn't have a lot of plot and it's just like a lot of ideas and really like rich, vibrant descriptions. So fair warning, if you don't like those kinds of books, I would stay away from this one.
I'm also intrigued because I feel like there's some really good books that fall into that kind of category. I'm thinking like Conversations with Friends to an extent from Sally Bruni is a bit like it's a bit of a plot, but it's still that stream of consciousness kind of a concept.
Where it's focusing also much more on like someone's inner life and how they're kind of seeing the world.
Exactly, but there's so many shitty examples of that that I think we've also talked about in previous episodes that are coming to mind. Of like,
agreed.
So it's an interesting recommendation because I feel like that is a very divisive writing style.
Yeah, it's definitely not for anyone. Not for everyone.
I was like, not for anyone? I was like, why are you recommending this book? You're like, it's for me only.
Yeah, this is like right up
my alley. It's a Jacinta only book. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, not for anyone else. Apologies. But I guess if you like really rich prose descriptions, that kind of really lush writing, I would recommend it in that respect. But it is definitely a stream of consciousness.
Yeah, okay. I'm intrigued. I guess it's hard because is this her only fiction work?
Yeah, so it definitely feels experimental. And the reason why it also feels experimental is because this is a complicated part that I don't think I would.
I've been waiting for this.
I don't think I'm going to explain very well, but it's the reason why I ended up picking it up because it intrigued me. So basically the protagonist, the voice of the novel, she kind of infers that it's based on the iconic novelist Kathy Acker, the experimental writer and post-punk feminist. So she kind of rose to prominence in the 80s.
Oh my gosh, she died so young.
Subversive. Yeah, she died of breast cancer, I think, in
at
the late 90s.
Yeah, 97.
So essentially you're kind of meant to believe that the protagonist in this book is Kathy Acker and what kind of happened if she didn't die then and she was experiencing that. Because I think I heard Olivia Lang talk about it because her voice is very particular. Like, it's very exciting. It's quite paranoid or wiry. There's almost like an electrifying kind of quality to it. So Lang kind of embodied her even though it's semi-autobiographical, she like put herself into Kathy Acker's wanting to see how she would react to things.
Oh my god, it's such a weird concept.
Yes.
So unique.
Yes. So that respect, I was like, okay, I have to read this. I already know I'm going to love the writing, but this concept seems so fascinating and I actually ended up really loving it.
It sounds like such a novel idea. Lol, pardon the pun.
No, but like it's very different, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it just sounds like nothing I've ever heard before, where also it's semi-autobiographical but a fictionalized sliding doors perspective of her life told from the perspective of a real life literary hero, in other words.
I mean, you couldn't make this shit up, like seriously. Like,
that's so convoluted. You've explained this so well to get okay, I'm glad, because I was like,
how am I going to even
articulate it?
Explain it. But I think I just had to talk about it because it's the book that I've read in the past couple of months that is still kind of sticking with me, because it's beautiful, but it's also funny. But it just tapped into like a feeling that I think a lot of people still are feeling, trying to balance really good things maybe that might be happening in your life. Kathy's getting married and all that stuff. The other kind of the rest of the world feels like some kind of grotesque episode of like a reality TV show.
Oh my and God, just it's trying so to great.
Trying to balance that and find the humanity in that. It's been, yeah. It was very interesting. And I don't think you have to know much about Kathy Acker to enjoy this.
Okay.
I've just read like a couple of her poems. I haven't read that much, so I didn't know much about her. But now reading this book, I feel much closer to the person she was.
Okay.
And in that respect as well. But it's very clear that Olivia Lang really admires her and wanted to see this world and what was happening, I guess, through her eyes, because it was so individual and so, I guess, transgressive.
Yes. So, yeah. I love that.
It's a bit of a different one, but it's fun just for the setting, like just experiencing a luxury hotel in Italy on holiday.
Oh my god,
while the world is falling apart.
Fucking it's incredible in some ways.
I know, dichotomy. If you want to read her other books, I would first recommend Olivia Lang's first fiction book, Crudo.
Such a good one to kick us off.
Yeah, a bit different again. Sorry, I come in with some curveballs sometimes.
No, it's I love this.
How about you? What are you going to talk about?
So look, I, classic me, wrote my notes for this episode literally 5 minutes before we started recording.
Best stuff comes out.
Don't know if that is true, but I feel like if it is, this is the exception to the rule potentially. But I really struggled, like always, to narrow down to only two.
Totally.
And I feel like all the books that I was thinking about, they were so different that it was so hard to work out which ones I wanted to talk about and which ones I didn't. So I've tried to pick two very different books to target, you know, or to give options to anyone, basically. So the first book is called The Lebs by Michael Muhammad Ahmed.
Interesting.
Yeah, I only recently heard about this book, but it came out, like that's 100% me being late to the bandwagon, because this book was shortlisted for the 2019 Miles Franklin Awards, so.
Oh my god, massive.
You know, it's like, it's around and it's been famous. I personally haven't heard about it until like the last few months. And I actually listened to this one as an audiobook.
How was that experience?
I loved it, actually. So the book set around, it's told from the first person perspective of a teenage Muslim boy growing up in the western suburbs of Sydney. Mm. And I feel like it was actually so good listening to the audiobook version, because the pronunciations of words spoken in Arabic.
Of course.
And, you know, there's references to prayers and common expressions and sayings and things like that. And it was just really great. I felt like it was more immersive than if I'd been trying to like phonetically read that on a page.
Yeah,
it,
like stumbling that would have over been certain lost names on me. Or concepts. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So I feel like it was actually really, really good. And the person that narrated it, I felt like was perfectly chosen. They did a really, really good job.
Oh, makes such a difference, doesn't
it? Makes or breaks an audiobook, but I thought this was great. So yeah,
is this the one that it's kind of, it's the front cover is someone's chest? Is that what?
With the like the lebs is like sort of a peeled back part of the chest, so it makes it look like paper over sort of where their heart is. Yes, it's that book.
I've definitely seen it, but I haven't read it, so I'm so interested in what you have to say.
So, yeah, it's set in Punch Bowl in Sydney around a group of Muslim teens who attend Punch Bowl Boys High School.
What a name for an area, I'm sorry.
Punch Bowl, right? Yeah. 100%. But it's this, like, really hard-hitting look at what it's like to grow up in Australia as the Muslim son of Lebanese immigrants. But it's I thought it was a really interesting book because it specifically places the events, like it's set around the shameful Cronulla riot era
of course
Australia's awful modern history.
Of course.
So it's obviously, you know, a time when tensions and racism, you know, racism is definitely still exists and is still there, but it was this really prominent expression of racism and showed how, you know, deeply embedded it was, encouraged in the white Australian psyche, all of that kind of thing. And it was also very specifically predominantly aimed at Muslim boys, particularly Lebanese boys and men.
Being a teenage boy amongst all of that, that's like a whole nother story.
And, you know, you're also navigating that diaspora sense of, you know, two cultures and two worlds of like, where do you fit? It was really interesting. So it centers around a character called Barney Adam. So he's the son of the Lebanese immigrants. And it's kind of him working out his place in the world, and one that is like openly hostile towards him. Because he talks about, you know, he can't hide or change his identity. Like, he's quite visually Lebanese. It's really obvious that he's Lebanese. And so, like, all of the consequences that he faces, both from other Muslim teens at Punch Bowl High and the way they all interact with each other. And, you know, because there's almost this hierarchy of, like, different types of Muslim and like the way you express your religion.
Interesting.
And then couple that with then like the way he's interpreted by like white Australian society and all of the things that he faces as a result of that.
Oh, that's so intense, navigating that as a young person.
At the same time as being a teen.
But then looking the way that he would.
Exactly.
And then all the other factions, like that sounds super intense.
Or like expectations maybe around his own identity and future and capability. Yeah. Like even around like, you know, his artistic expression, he talks a lot about loving writing and like you can tell that he's like really
so he's a lot more sensitive than that kind of hyper masculine environment that he's in right now. That's so true, because they say like little kids are like sponges, but you also are when you're a teenager because you're so self-conscious and you like just don't have a set identity, so anything anyone projects on you you're gonna kind of internalize and really take to heart.
Particularly when it's like this narrative that is all over the news at all times, is being discussed by everyone in the media at all times. And then therefore those conversations are also, you know, happening amongst adults and on the street, and sort of it flows through and trickles through to all aspects of our life. And so he's sort of like those messages are constantly around him and being fed to him of sort of like who he is or what he should be or like, you know, assumptions and stereotypes that people make about him as well. It's just, it's really visceral, really in your face. There's a lot of like swearing, but it feels really authentic for that. Like, I think it's in a self-aware way where it's like very representative of the teenage boy experience in a white supremacist kind of sexist patriarchal society. Like, it's
It wouldn't make sense if it was papered over.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think it captures that well, but it is very confronting. So, you know, maybe not to everyone's taste, but I just made it more feel way more real and authentic to me because of that.
That's so true. And when you get like a dialogue right, or the way someone speaks, it does add a whole other dimension.
Exactly.
You do really kind of engage with these characters as if you were part of that conversation. So I guess it's really important in that respect as well.
So yeah, that's the first book I'm going to recommend. So yeah, while I think it's a really important read and is like just really interesting, it might not be to everyone's taste because it is a little bit visceral perhaps in some of the like language and the way that things are worded, but I thought it was brilliant. And also, you know, it was shortlisted for the Miles Franklin, so it can't be bad.
Totally. I trust them. And yeah, Barney sounds exactly. like such an incredible protagonist.
It's so, oh my God, it's so fascinating. Yeah, so that's The Lebs by Michael Muhammad Ahmad. And I would be really intrigued to see what other people think if they've already read it or, you know, once they do, what they think of it.
Oh, I love that one.
What is the second book that you're recommending?
I can't work out if this is a typical pick from me or an unusual pick.
Can I be the objective yes, party that tells
to,
you?
You have to tell me whether this is on brand or not.
Okay.
So I recently read Love Stories by Trent Dalton.
I've been wanting to read this and so many people have been like raving about it and I've been yes. intrigued as to whether it lives up to the hype or not.
But I wanted to talk about this because I really did love this book. It's so far from cynical or like sarcastic in any way or dark. It's like the epitome of sentimentality. So it was definitely different for me in that respect. But also it's all like about love and romance. So I was like, on brand as well.
Kind of like the opposite of Boy Swallows Universe, which yes, still has themes of like love and stuff like that, but like yeah. a very dark, very different take exactly. on life.
Yeah, so if Trent Dalton sounds familiar, he is the writer of Boy Swallows Universe, of course, and All the Shimmering Skies. And this is kind of, or maybe it's not his first foray, but it is a non-fiction book. So basically the concept is that one of his friend's mothers passed away and she actually gifted Trent, because she knew that he was a brilliant writer, her typewriter and Aww. Asked him to write a story on it.
Oh.
And so what he did
Fuck
is
off,
he,
this is so wholesome.
I know, it's Fuck. The most awesome thing in
and
the
also,
entire world.
This sounds made up. It's like the start of a rom-com where like he then meets someone through the typewriter or some shit.
Well, what he does, which is even more kind of, I guess it's cinematic in this way as well, he takes the typewriter with a portable table and fold-up chairs and he sets up in the middle of the Brisbane CBD and literally asks people to stop and asks one question to them, and the question is, can you please tell me a love story?
I'm so, obsessed with this.
Isn't it just like the most cinematic kind of, you need to make a movie out of this?
This is like Love Actually, but true life.
Yeah, do you know what it reminded me of? When Harry Met Sally.
Oh my God, yeah.
How it's interspersed with different kinds of couples on the couch and they like talk about how they met and like their love story.
Oh my God.
It very much reminded me of that. So yeah, it's pretty heartwarming in that respect. And Trent himself kind of says that he's very soppy and he's very sentimental, and that's definitely where it's coming from. But it really is incredible the people he comes in contact with and the stories they have. And it's not just romantic love, it's friendship as well. And it's,
I was gonna ask that because yeah, I feel like we often have this really narrow view of love as being very heteronormative
totally.
And being like romantic monogamous love. That's
yeah, and
the
that's
only
the only
version.
One that matters. Yeah.
Oh my God, that sounds so amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of family stories as well. And I guess it's really beautiful the way that some stories are super unusual and super kind of one-off, but others are just super mundane. And when you find love in kind of situations that are so ordinary, but what makes them special is like the people, the feelings that you have.
I love this.
It was beautiful and quite varied in that way as well.
Oh.
As per usual, I cried through the whole thing. Literally, I knew before I even picked it up that I would cry. I guess because every story is just, you get to know the person who's telling them. He describes them really well and like paints the scene. And the other thing, more often than not, all the stories are kind of twinged with some kind of heartbreak or some kind of, like, not issue, but,
yes,
or, like, agony or angst that's involved in it, which is quite interesting because you'd think that it would just be all happy stories if someone asked to tell you about love, but really what happened is that they're all tinged with some kind of sadness or heartbreak, and there was so few that were just straight kind of happy, great stories. And I think that's also was something was really beautiful about it. There was a lot of people sharing their stories of grief or love lost, and
which is such a lovely nuanced view of it too, right?
Yeah.
And it's this concept that, like, love isn't finite, and it also continues to live on in whoever's left behind, even if other people have passed or there's been trauma and grief. Like, it's all intertwined, but that still can coexist.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to put it. Yes, it may be sad in that way, but it also makes it more poignant and almost more meaningful, and you get a much better picture of the people who are telling them these stories and these people in their lives. And it just gave it a lot more depth, which I liked. Because so I did want to give another warning about this book, and something I definitely found while I loved it, and I loved getting to know each of the people. It was incredibly soppy and overly earnest. It was almost, it's like cynicism or sarcasm didn't exist in the world, which I think is good in small doses, maybe.
Yes.
So this is kind of the perfect book to maybe pick up if you're maybe feeling a bit down or you just want to get immersed in this kind of world. I think that's definitely how I will read it going on. But if you like something with a bit more edge sometimes, that kind of earnest hope and faith in the world that everything will be okay isn't your thing, this might not be the book for you either.
That is a good one, like a good warning of...
Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, we've talked about it before, I am sometimes drawn to the more darker stories.
I feel like you are, but then I find with romance, you've like often recommended books where I think that they're kind of like cliche.
Totally. But
maybe not. I don't know.
I love a cliched romance.
But not real life cliche romance. Like, ugh.
But maybe it was his voice as well. Like he very, like I think I said it before, like he at the start very much up front says, I'm incredibly soppy and sentimental and this is what this book is going to be about as well. I guess love is kind of boiled down to a simple concept or a simple feeling, and maybe I wanted a bit more nuance in that respect. But definitely if you're feeling down and you want something heartwarming and kind of soul affirming, I would recommend this book 100%.
Soul affirming. What a stunning way of explaining it.
It really, like, it kind of restored faith in the world a bit.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It was very heartfelt and sensitive in that way, and I think he did it really well.
This is a really good recommendation because I've been umming and ahhing about reading this book because I was like, it seems to be everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know whether this is going to be for me, whether it's going to be a book that, like, doesn't quite meet up with expectations and... Yeah, I've just been on the fence about it for a really long time. So now hearing your review makes me it makes me much more inclined to read it.
Okay, I'm glad. Definitely worth it. And some of the stories are so beautiful and heartbreaking. And I think it's worth it for that. So if you're like me and can be a little more cynical when it comes to this kind of stuff, I hope it makes you a convert.
I love this so much. This actually has a really good segue to my second pick.
Of course. You mentioned it might be a romance.
Yes. What have you done to me? I'm a changed woman. I'm recommending a freaking romance book a non-specific romance-themed episode.
by choice.
Yeah, voluntarily. So my second second book is Beach Read by Emily Henry. Have you read it?
I love this book.
Haven't talked about this book before, have we?
I don't think so. I think you got me this book.
Did I?
Yes, and I was going to pick it to talk about, but I can't remember why I didn't. But
I'm so glad you didn't.
Oh my god, we did it again. We almost picked the same one.
It's going to happen one day soon.
Oh my gosh.
This is the first ever Emily Henry book I think I've read.
Oh, I love her.
Because I think she's like similar vibes to Vari McFarlane in the sense of like, in terms of contemporary romance writers, I feel like there's, you know, a top five, and both of those two are like firmly in the top five.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And they're just like internationally famous.
yeah, they're like the kind of cream of the crop in terms of, yes. I don't want to say chick lit, but maybe contemporary
rom-com
romance.
Vibes. Yeah, yes, contemporary rom-com. Romance makes it sound so much nicer than my like rom-com description.
I said chick lit first, so I think you're ahead. It's also haters to lovers, which is,
yes, is catnip. One of my favorite things.
Oh, such a good thing.
Yeah, it was, but I think that this is also one of those fun escapist books that if you're looking for a bit of a reprieve from maybe if you read the same kind of genre or you're just looking for something light and easy to dive into, I think this is such a good one.
A literal beach read, maybe?
Yes, like literally. But it is a bit like cliche in, I would say, the overarching concepts. Like it's sort of a classic tale of two opposites attracting. You know, he doesn't believe in happy endings. She's lost her faith that they exist, even though she's a romantic.
Yeah.
They've known each other for a long time and unbeknownst to each other have crushed hard on each other through the years. So there's some, you know, really familiar themes.
And, yeah, it's not like it's a mystery whether they end up together. Right.
It's like you fucking know they're going to end up together. Yeah. But it's so well written. I loved so it's narrated by the main character, January, who's a hopeless romantic, and Gus is the serious literary type. You know, he's written like a critically acclaimed kind of novel and she's written romance books that have found their place and she's quite well known in her circles for
totally.
Her work. He's kind of more like universally cracked into the mainstream author famous.
Yeah, he looks down on the things she yes. writes in a way.
Well, I think that's like because it's from her perspective, like you kind of – your view of Gus is shaped by her view of Gus and the way she views
good
him.
Good point. Actually.
Yeah, and I feel like it's actually about unpacking her own prejudices around the kind of person he is based on the little kind of things she's picked up over the years and their interactions together. And I think I really loved the scenes in the book where they revisit memories that they have of interacting with each other and their completely different perspectives of what took place and what their internal monologue was, where she's yes. kind of like, oh my god, you were barely said anything, and he's like, yeah, it's because I was like so nervous, or like I didn't know what to say to you, or like whatever it was, like he was intimidated by her.
Oh my gosh, and it's that's like, so it's true, you are shaped by her perspective totally.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my god, he's such a dick because he like didn't say anything or yeah, do this thing. And he's like, no, I was just really nervous and awkward and you were intimidating and I didn't know what to say to you.
Yeah, because you definitely get this idea he's this like stuck up literary type who's, but that's actually such a good point. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, and I kind of liked it because it was like calling her out a little bit on some of her bullshit. Mm. But yeah, it's, I loved the plot line, which is basically that they're both writers. She's a romance writer. He's like a more serious fiction drama writer. And they're both struggling with this writer's block and they both are on deadline to write a new book. And obviously because they're both successful, there's pressure on it being good. And their solution is to swap genres and see who gets published first writing in this genre that's completely unfamiliar to them. And it's about
it really
them.
Is the best concept.
God. It really is. It's so great.
Makes
so
me want to read it again. Maybe yes. I might revisit the audiobook.
Oh, I haven't. I read the hard copy, so I feel like, yeah, we should give the audiobook a go. And like, yeah, you can see where it's going. It's very obvious from the get-go. Like, there's really only two main characters in this book, and maybe a third with the woman that January befriends very early on living
in
this
town. I love
that
relationship too.
Same.
Yeah.
And there's some, you know, there's some more complex narratives in there around family and grief and that kind of thing. You know, she loses her dad and there's some things she finds out that reframe perspective and opinion on her dad. So there are some heavier topics sort of woven through.
Yeah, complicated interpersonal relationships.
But they're definitely done in a way to like give a bit of that backstory and character development more than they are big plot devices. But it's such a fun book to read. And I want everyone to read it and feel lifted up by the love and silliness of all of the things in this book. It's great.
Oh my god, I'm so happy you loved it. Sometimes it's just the best to get lost in a book like this. 100%. It's my favorite thing in the world. And yeah, any kind of tension, people maybe finding out that the person they hate wasn't quite hate, it was maybe a bit more complicated than that. Pride and Prejudice style.
Oh my god. And again, this like, is another...
Totally.
So that's Beach Read by Emily Henry.
Oh my god.
I feel like it's been a while since we've either of us have recommended like a more upbeat, happy book. And now we've both recommended one in the same episode.
Like really like blatant, like love stories, like both love about topics. Love. Yeah.
I love it so much.
Well, that's the perfect place to kind of end on as our second point, I think.
Outside of books that you've been reading, what else have you been loving lately?
I thought I'd recommend something a bit different this time. Mm. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Vanity Fair's YouTube content, video content recently. Oh,
niche.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm not sure, but they do this expert series, like a mythology expert reviews ancient Greek and Rome movies, or like an accent expert breaks down actors playing real characters.
An accent expert, what a job.
Yeah, like stuff like that. But my favourite one that I watched recently is called Commercial Styling Tips, reviewed by a culinary expert. So essentially this food stylist breaking down like television ads and how they get it all the food to look so amazing and like juicy and appealing, and some of the tricks are wild. Like it's a
I feel like this would be semi horrific.
It's horrifying sometimes. Exactly. A lot of them don't even involve food. Oh. Like they're propped up by a lot of things. Like cotton buds is definitely one. Oh. They're like pasted on with not jelly, but like almost a wax.
Gross.
It's completely not edible. And also the thing that I found wild is they have to make, like for chip commercials, they have to look through like hundreds of chip bags to find the perfect chips. And then they put them all in the bowl, but they're only doing like the perfect chips. It's never the ones that are cracked or a bit misshapen.
Yes.
So
it's what a job. Wild. If you had to describe that, you're like, yeah, I'm assisting on an ad today. And I literally just have to open hundreds of bags of chips and find the perfect chips. That's my job.
Exactly. And like, also to not completely wild. That would be the worst.
For me, a chip for the bowl.
Totally. Well, that's – and because they're treated with things that aren't exactly edible, it's not like you can go home with the stuff that you've used because it's all tricks of the eye. So that was a pretty fascinating dive into that, which I loved. And the person who does it, she's a culinary expert called Lish Styling, and she's really great as well. One I'll recommend to you is they've got another one saying Professional Baker reviews baking scenes from movies and TV.
Oh my god.
Which was so good as
well. I'm writing it down. Right.
So yeah, they've got some really interesting food stylists explaining all their tricks. So yeah, that's what I've been deep diving on lately. I've been obsessed with these short form videos on food in movies.
I love this so much.
Yeah, I feel like this is right up your alley. So definitely, when I send you the link, look some of them up.
Hell yes, I'm going to. This sounds ideal. And also, like, sound like such good little videos to watch when you, like, want to decompress or just tune out and take a break from whatever's happening in life. Or
exactly. You know, they're not long. They're quite short. They're easy topics, like, at the absolute best. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be recommending. Vanity Fair's YouTube channel, I guess.
Oh, my God, I love this.
Bit
so
different.
Different.
Bit interesting. Yeah. How about you? Good. What have you been consuming?
Look, I have not been doing much aside from reading at the moment. But the one thing that I have only just started watching is the final season of Grace and Frankie.
Oh my god, is it heartbreaking?
It's just, I mean, I'm just loving being back in that world.
Totally. It's been a while, haven't it?
Yeah, it's been a while between seasons. It's very sad knowing that this is the last one, but I'm just fucking obsessed with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. Like,
And their friendship, it's the best.
I know, like, I so desperately want to be Frankie, but I know I'm more of a Grace vibe. But, like, whereas I'm the opposite. Just everything. But, like, the chill stoner vibes, like, there's just so much about Frankie that I'm, like, obsessed with.
Yeah, she lives life the right way, definitely.
Yeah, and just her style and her fashion. But, yeah, it's just fun being back in that world. And I think that's all my brain has capacity for at the moment is a show like that. So that's what I'm leaning into.
Oh, my God, I love Grace and Frankie.
Yeah.
But also, like, a great concept if you've never heard of Grace and Frankie.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, their husbands leave them for each other.
Like they're both gay and have been in love with each other for years and sort of finally work up the courage to A, come out, and B, leave their partners to be together. So yeah, like a good, again, like I'm recommending lots of escapist easy shit at the moment because that's my lane and where I'm at. So yeah, I recommend last season of Grace and Frankie. Also crying because it's the last season of Grace and Frankie.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed with every single thing you've recommended episode.
Again, like always, I'm like, oh my god, I have so many new books to add to the list. I've got all of these extra like YouTube videos. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed and you have some more recommendations under your belt as well. We want to know what you've been reading recently, don't we?
Yes, always. Particularly faves, not faves. Books that have been like, you know, super recommended and you've got high expectations and they don't quite meet them. I love hearing all types of book reviews. Interesting to see what other people like and don't like and how that differs from your own taste.
Especially because particularly Beach Read and Love Stories, they've been books that are quite hyped up. So you'd be interested if you felt the same way as we did, because
definitely,
I think that's the collective opinion of them. So I want to hear some more opinions.
Yeah, basically we're basic bitches and like here's some generic recommendations with very similar reviews to other people. But then there's a couple of like left of field ones, I think. Well.
Agreed.
But yeah, happy reading, everybody.
Happy reading. See you next time.